joining us now to talk about what always ends up being an entertaining thing when it happens, following plane registration numbers and all this sort of stuff, is our friend from CBS 4 Denver, Romy Bean. You can follow her on Twitter at Romy underscore Bean. Romy, thanks for joining us. This sort of situation where the Broncos get down to a certain number of coaches, it gets to be a little silly season around here, doesn't it?
Oh, you know, I mean, Shauna, we always laugh and joke. You know, you look at the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, they're just achieving franchise greatness right now.
Right.
But we are following planes around, and we can't help ourselves. You know,
that's a great line. The Avalanche are
setting records,
with these long winning streaks, whether it's overall or.
And we're worried
at
about
home, and we're chasing
who landed at Centennial.
Well, who landed at Centennial? But as serious as we can possibly be about this, it appears that there are three finalists: Dan Quinn, no surprise; Nathaniel Hackett; Kevin O'Connell, who apparently was kind of that dark horse guy, who among all the interviews might have intrigued them the most. Is that a fair reading of the situation, or was George Payton and other members of his search committee open-minded all along and from the beginning a Kevin O'Connell or maybe a Jonathan Gannon, who we've heard a little bit about, they had as good a chance as anybody else?
You know, I think maybe, but I think this is really evidence of George Payton truly doing his due diligence. And everything we've heard, or when you talk to guys around the league about George Payton, is that, right, he is a no shortcuts kind of a man. And so I don't know, you know, we've heard that, we've seen that kind of since he's been here, but I think we're still getting used to it, because in today's NFL, it's a rush. It's a draft your quarterback and rush to play him, right? It's a rush to hire the coach. It's always a rush. Get it done fast. There's no patience, you know, rush and fix things and find a way to win, you know, however you can. So I think it's a little bit off-putting almost, I guess in a good way, though, that George Payton really is taking his time. When he said he was going to be open-minded, well, he's not kidding. I think there's probably guys he's maybe had his eye on, but a guy like Kevin O'Connell probably stood out more than they thought he would.
In this
interview. This is a guy that you might even be looking for the next coach you hire, because let's be honest, maybe in the back of George Payton's mind too, he's interviewing the next round too, right? Like a Luke Getsy. Could this guy somehow, some way down the road, if things don't work out? That's kind of what I looked at when he took all 10 guys. And I think because he's done this due diligence, there's guys that are surprising, like a Kevin O'Connell, even though it seems like he might be ready. You know, he's a Sean McVay guy. But, you know, a guy that doesn't have play calling, he doesn't do the play calling. So
right.
I don't think they went in probably thinking, oh, that guy's going to be a front runner.
Perhaps not. But as you said, everybody around the Broncos in this coaching search doing due diligence, most especially George Payton, but everyone else is doing it too. Does this give the Broncos, in your opinion, a little more time? I know that there have been some reports that suggest that they will have, by the end of this week, a new head coach. But since no one else has moved in that direction, not a single coaching hire has been made, and it's January 24th, and the day is almost done, do they have the luxury, Romy, of waiting a little longer than perhaps they had originally intended?
I think so, because I think, you know, what happens is the dominoes start to fall. One or two guys are going to get hired, and then all of a sudden everybody starts to panic, because, as it's always said, you know, they take the guys because then you want to build a team and you want to get all your guys. If you wait too long, you lose out on the good coordinators. So I think because everybody, and it has been really slow moving across the league, it's pretty wild that we're January 24th and we're still waiting, you know, on teams to start making hires. But you feel like it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be the domino effect, you know, once it starts. But at the same time, George Payton has been patient this far. We've seen teams wait late in seasons sometimes to hire guys. and that patience has paid off. So I feel like he's done this much due diligence. I don't think he's going to rush it. However, I feel like he also seems like the kind of guy, when he's made up his mind, he's made up his mind. He's obviously narrowed it down to three. And I think that going back to what you did originally say, though, yeah, I do think there's a little bit of a luxury where nobody's rushing, where, you know, nobody's rushing. And then there's these guys that are in the next round. So now, are you going to wait for those guys? I think that's the next big question, of course, right? If you feel like you're teetering between O'Connell and Hackett, right, are you willing to wait? That's kind of the next big question that we're waiting to find out. But if it, all of a sudden a bunch of guys get hired tomorrow, then I think it could, that only could work in Hackett's favor or Dan Quinn's.
And I think that is an interesting point. I agree with everything you're saying here. This is something that I've been curious about because the Broncos have not said, here are our final three candidates. You know, there hasn't been an announcement that we'll be doing each of these things. At the same time, it's pretty widely known at this point. If the Broncos don't wait to interview Kevin O'Connell before making a hire, remember, this is still George Payton's first year as a GM. This is how he's going to present himself to agents across the league, other coaches across the league. You know, is there a concern that he looks like a guy that got rushed by, say, the Houston Texans and New York Giants? To me, it feels like if he's really a finalist for O'Connell, you have to wait and take the chances that maybe one of these other two guys gets hired.
I mean, I think so, too. If that's the guy you want, it's still crazy that, like, a lot of these guys get punished for achieving success.
Yes. Because exactly. That's what's crazy about these
part
rules.
Part of the most successful team, and because of that, we can't wait for you. You know, I've always thought that was a funny thing, where I almost thought, why doesn't the NFL just make a rule that you can't hire anyone until after the Super Bowl? But
Thank
then, of course, you.
You
know,
yeah.
There'd be like
that would make sense.
Secret handshakes and whatnot, but that
well,
would make
okay,
sense.
Well, okay, but
yeah, but that's happened. That happens anyway.
That happens now,
right?
Happens or at
anyway.
Least in recent years, it's happened. Where there
exactly,
been commitments
you know?
Made, and they wait until after the Super Bowl to announce it, but the commitment might have been made a week, 10 days before the Super Bowl.
You know, and the NFL too, right? They don't want the distraction the week of the Super Bowl, if you will. So if they just had some sort of a guideline, I think, like that would then set the parameters, whatever. If a guy knows, you know, he calls around and he tells his guys, hey, you know, want you to be on my staff. Like you said, that all happens anyway, but this would also just make so much more parity and for fairness for the guys that get ahead. Maybe Eric Bieniemy wouldn't have just done his 11th head coach interview, you know, over the last 4 years. So it's kind of funny that in a sense, the guys with the most success are being punished. And that I think is on the NFL.
Yeah, Bieniemy, of course, is with a Chiefs team that is entering their fourth consecutive AFC championship. So he's always, as he put
exactly.
it, behind the eight ball for being part of a successful team. It makes no sense. But when we look at this hire, whoever it's going to be, obviously you're looking at two offensively minded coaches, one defensively minded coach. The next step for the Broncos, more than just about anything, will then be focused on the quarterback. And I've made the argument, the quarterback that you have is going to be more important than the head coach you get. But when you look at this hire, does that change the way you look at maybe some of the rookies in the draft if they can't land one of the superstar quarterbacks in a trade?
I mean, yeah, I think that, and I've felt this for a while, that even if they land a superstar in the trade, they still need to draft a quarterback. And especially if you are going to end up landing an Aaron Rodgers, well, you definitely need to draft a quarterback because then what does Rodgers have? Like we've talked about, this is kind of a Payton thing. It's a 4 years less thing. So I think regardless of what they do, and I felt this way the whole time, you got to draft the quarterback, even if you don't think this crop,
right,
you know, is that talented. Again, it's the Ron Wolf theory. Like every single year.
Absolutely.
You
That's what he always did.
There's no reason not to. And every single year he had Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre, he was drafting a quarterback. So yeah. No matter what happens, I still want to see the Broncos draft a quarterback.
Yeah, that was definitely the Ron Wolf philosophy, especially when he had Brett Favre. He'd still draft quarterbacks, and some of them would end up in some interesting places other than Green Bay, but he always had Favre, and of course now they've had Rodgers. And speaking of Rodgers, Romy, last one for me. I'm going to bounce off the closing paragraph of Bill Barnwell's column today on ESPN.com and get your reaction to it. What happens next for Aaron Rodgers suddenly seems more up in the air. After the game, faced with a suggestion that the Packers' cap issues might force Green Bay to make changes on offense, Rodgers suggested that he didn't have the appetite to play through a rebuild. I'm not sure I would characterize what will happen with the Packers as such, but it's clear that they will look different in 2022 than they did from 19 through 21. And this is Bill Barnwell. I still think Rodgers will be back in Green Bay, but the chances of a separation grew with Saturday night's defeat. Your reaction to that?
I agree 100%. It was kind of like all of the magic and the kind of love that was lost was found again. All of that we saw kind of during
exactly
the season,
by the end of the season, it was.
Same. It was, and it felt like by the end of the season, we all felt like, oh man, he's staying there, right? And then that game, I mean, in an instant, all the air pulled out of that balloon. It certainly felt like it was the crash down to earth, and it felt like the uncertainty we had thought at the beginning of the season. And then you look at Green Bay's free agent list, and it is large, and their cap situation is terrible.
No,
and
they're
you wonder
over
how they could possibly.
Yeah, they're fairly far over it right now. Right,
and I think 40 times.
Yeah, that sounds right.
40 million plus.
40 million.
Yeah. So the realistic thing is, I mean, maybe they tag Adams, but they can't possibly keep all of those guys. But at the same token, they still don't have to trade Aaron Rodgers.
No, they don't. We definitely shall see. She is Romy Bean on CBS 4 Denver. Make sure you follow her on Twitter at @Romy_Bean. Enjoy the rest of the week chasing, airplane tail numbers and who had what for lunch and dinner. We'll see how it goes. And maybe by the time we're talking next week, we'll have an opportunity to discuss the next Denver Broncos coach. Thanks for the time.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for having me. And, yeah, you know what? This is things of our career we never thought we'd do.
Yeah.
Why not?
Thanks, Romy. Glad you're feeling better.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, take care. Romy Bean joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline.